Item 982, adopt the recommendations contained within the Growing Transit Communities Plan.
So, colleagues, this is an item by Commissioner Saltzman. He is obviously excused today, but I believe we have Brendan from Commissioner Saltzman's office is going to speak, and then some representatives from PBOT are here as well. Brendan, should I turn this over to you first?
Yes, sure. Thank you, Mayor. Good morning. Brendan Finn, Commissioner Saltzman's office. I feel like I need to congratulate Denis. All right. Good morning. Well, first off, Mayor, before we dive into this item, I wanted to, while Dan's ill today, the fire commissioner is monitoring closely the situation that's going on with the wildfires. And since we're giving brief updates, I thought I'd give a very brief update on that because I'm watching the communications between him and the chief right now. And I want to make sure you are all apprised of how we're coordinated. To build on what Commissioner Fish was saying, the chief is out right now with the Sandy Fire District Fire Chief, and they are touring the Bull Run Watershed. One of the while we're worried about the water supply, two of the other things that they're monitoring is the power lines that run through the watershed there, as well as some of the stations that are located within the watershed. Some of them are within the Bull Run, some of them are without. And as you alluded to, Mayor, Portland Fire Bureau's two engines that were there basically helped save the Multnomah Lodge. Chief Williams has been out for 2.5 months fighting wildfires. He's our chief operations officer within the Fire Bureau. So we do have two other trucks that are deployed on the scenes. We have two here ready to go as well. And I wanted you to know, Commissioner Fritz, that we are coordinating with the Parks Bureau as well to make sure if anything happens within our borders or anything close that we're ready to attend to that. So with that, that's the end of my update on that. The chief was supposed to go to Florida this morning to go on vacation with his wife. You don't want to go to Florida right now, but he did. He's here.
Not a chance.
And he's and he's out right now surveying that situation. So I want to make you aware as well as the public. So
thanks.
Transferring to this item before you, just briefly, Dan wanted to have this presented to you, the Growing Transit Communities Plan. Kind of represents a set of values that we have for our infrastructure investment around our transit lines that first and foremost represent equity, but safety is very important as well as our kind of efforts to address to comply with our climate action plan. So with that, I'll stop and turn it over to staff here who have been working hard on this for their presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Mauricio Leclerc, Area and Project Planning Supervisor at PBOT. With me, I have April Bertelsen, Senior Planner at PBOT, and the Project Manager for GTC, as well as Jeff Owen, Senior Planner from TriMet, who's going to join us. And there you go. We're very happy to introduce you the GTC, Growing Transit Communities Plan, developed by PBOT with the community and recommended for City Council adoption. This plan is important for us to consider because it helps to identify the most beneficial projects for improving transit to access to transit along three TriMet bus lines where we want to see increased bus service. Additionally, as Brendan mentioned, these bus lines serve equity and serve parts of East Portland. Many East Portlanders depend on taking the bus to get to work, school, and their daily needs. Many more people would like to take the bus, but there are barriers that prevent this. They include that the bus doesn't operate at the times they need or to get to work, or is not frequent enough, or is difficult to get to the bus because of lack of sidewalks, safe crossings, and bike facilities. If you recall, we were here July 13th, and we had a discussion about transit, and in that case, it was enhanced transit community corridors. We had General Manager Neil McFarland talk about the importance of transit and how vital it is, the partnership with the city to make sure that transit operates well for TriMet, but also for the customers. And then we were, ETC was focused on providing new tools for buses to move more efficiently. Now with GTC, we're primarily working to provide access, safe access, to the bus and to the final destination. So with that, we want to thank the community representatives who participated in the planning process in the development of the Growing Transit Community Plan. Your involvement was essential to developing the plans and that they reflect the community needs and values. Thank you also to the ODOT Transportation and Growth Management Program for the grant that made it possible to develop this plan. And thank you to TriMet for your coordination with PBOT and support to help development of the GTC plan. Partnerships with TriMet will remain important for the City of Portland. We hope to continue working together to improve transit service and access to transit. And with that, I'll pass it on to April Burleson, our project manager. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Wheeler and members of the council. Thank you for this opportunity to present to you the Growing Transit Communities Plan. I am the project manager for this planning process, but this really was a team effort. So I do want to take a moment to acknowledge some of my team members that helped to make this plan happen. That includes Seth Wagner, as well as Shane Valley and Kevin Donahue, who are here in the audience, as well as Francesca, Patricolo, who is unable to be here as she is out of the office. Much of what you will see is also the fruits of their work. Just to ground us in what we're here for today, we want to inform you of the planning process and the plan recommendations in the Growing Transit Communities Plan, and then recommend adoption of the plan, and then you're providing direction to PBOT staff to amend the transportation system plan to incorporate the GTC plan recommendations and projects during the next update of the TSP. So we wouldn't be amending the TSP today, but there would be direction to incorporate the plan into it at the next update.
What's the time frame for the next update?
I will defer.
Well, we're thinking of a technical update, you know, like a keep up with this plans, 2018.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Building a bit on what Mauricio was talking about in terms of the plans we're working on, the Enhanced Transit Corridors plan that we're here previously giving you a midpoint check-in in July, that was more focused on the speed and reliability of transit operations. Today's plan is focused more on the safety and access to transit and some on operations. And we do believe that this is part of a virtuous upward cycle of transit investment, a positive feedback loop, if you will, that the more that we invest in access to transit and safety around transit, and the more people can access it, the more people will take it. And the more people are on the on transit, that reinforces TriMet to add even more service. So as TriMet adds service and as we add improvements, these two can work together to then generate more ridership and more investment in transit for better service and onward. So we want to keep that spiral going upward in order to meet our city goals, really, including comprehensive plan goals around providing a good public transit system, transit equity, and increasing transit ridership and reducing vehicle miles traveled. All of this is also built on the foundation of TriMet service enhancement plans, and Jeff Owen here with TriMet will speak more to some of the transit service improvements at the end of the presentation. But TriMet was a very close partner in the development of this plan and working with us from the beginning and out in the community with us as well.
Before you move on,
yes.
Does this map show that these is on, especially on the east side, is that where the city lines go, or why are those big state like blank spaces?
That is a graphic representation of TriMet's service area for the full region. I think it's made a little blockish, so that might exaggerate some of the boundaries, but that should roughly represent your service area.
And so that gap represents that we don't have much north-south in East Portland, is that correct?
Past East Portland.
This does include all of the city limits and all of the service boundary from TriMet. So the only white spaces between any space is something outside of the TriMet service boundary.
And outside of the city boundary as well?
Yes.
Thank you.
So we are also building on a previous model of our 122nd Avenue partnership, which it was really formative for what led us to applying for a grant and developing investment plans around additional corridors where we want to see increased transit service. And 122nd Avenue is one of those first ones that we are currently implementing, where TriMet has made commitments to making incremental improvements to service toward and achieving full frequent service along 122nd Avenue, and we are making investments on safety and access to 122nd, and that is underway now.
Could I ask you a question? This is a bit of a rabbit hole, so I don't intend you to jump in fully, but maybe just dip your toes into it. We had a presentation not too long ago related to the idea of separated bus lanes as being sort of a magic bullet type solution. Is there any contemplation of that kind of a strategy as part of this overall planning process?
Dedicated bus lanes certainly could be one tool, but we'll be looking at multiple tools that we, in our presentation, we talked about our toolbox, and we have about 20 tools, and some of them are different lanes that give some transit priority as well as signal priority.
So that is under consideration as one of those
tools. But primarily that's ETC. We were here in July 13th introducing, basically we need to do more to make sure that the buses operate efficiently so we can increase the service. That is, again, there are no silver bullets in transportation, but, that's one of the key 20 tools that we can employ through corridors to increase efficiency. This is more about access, people walking into their destination, to the bus. So we have two tracks in which the city can actually improve transit service.
Very good. I appreciate it. Thank you.
There is some overlap, so 122nd Avenue has both been identified as a location needing additional safety and access improvements to get to the bus, as well as operational improvements to help the bus move along.
And this is more related to the safety and access points.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
And so that's why you want this as a component of the overall plan, because the plan gets at the actual transportation piece, if you will.
Yes.
Okay, now it's all coming together in my head. Thank you.
And that there
that's
are some
helpful
corridors that need both.
Okay, very good. Thank you. That's a helpful frame of reference for me.
Great. Welcome. Kicking off more of focusing in on the growing transit communities plan, the overall goal is to develop investment plans for a few transit corridors to help support frequent transit service and multimodal transit oriented development. And all of these help to grow transit communities. Our key role is what can we do in our right of way to help get people safely to the bus as well as help the bus move along. Our planning process kicked off in the fall of 2015 and wrapped up in the spring of 2017. Over that time, we met frequently with our partners, including TriMet and ODOT, our grant manager, as well as it formed a technical advisory group and a community advisory group that we checked in with frequently at each step of the planning process. And then we engaged the broader public with in the corridors and more generally at key decision and input points with two open houses and two surveys and other efforts along the way, which has then helped us develop a plan and bring us here today. In addition to the open houses and surveys, we had eight community advisory group meetings and presented to various committees and groups. So we went out to the community as well as tabling at events in each corridor. And we tried to put an emphasis on reaching out to communities who may most depend upon transit or have a stake in it, including youth and people who have limited English proficiency, low income or others, underrepresented communities. Our community advisory group represented many groups that are listed here. Many of them were transit riders themselves, but also include OPAL, members from the Youth Environmental Justice Alliance, or AJA, which was included two David Douglas High School students. JOIN, who serves homeless and transitioning them from the streets to homes. Rosewood Initiative, East Portland Action Plan, Oregon Walk, the Street Trust, Aorta, pedestrian Advisory Committee, and various neighborhood associations. And I will invite a couple members from our committee advisory group to testify at the end. The first step in our planning process was to select some transit corridors, and we used criteria to help us do that, starting from what are bus lines out there today that don't yet have frequent service but are planned for future frequency or full for frequent service and TriMet service enhancement plans. So what can we then do to help support that and encourage more service added? We started with various candidates that are mapped here and then evaluated them with our selection criteria, which really focused on where is there comprehensive plan zoning in place and land use patterns that would be supportive.
This particular slide is, do we have the hard copy of this?
Yes, this is actually pulled from the report as well, from the plan.
Yeah, I'm just saying that for some reason it doesn't come across very well. It's very hard to read the chart. Could you tell us what that chart is if anyone's looking at home?
Yes. So this was a table that shows each of the corridors listed in rows, and then the columns represent our criteria, and then the pie chart, sort of a consumer report style, a full circle if it was fully meeting the criteria versus empty or corner if it was
on
not.
On the northern horizontal line, what are in those five shaded gray boxes?
Yes. Opportunity, residential density, mixed-use land patterns, access, and equity, which are also the bullet-pointed items on the side there, given it's hard to read. Yes. So we evaluated each of the corridors on this, as well as looking at where is there a strong need for additional planning and a diversity of corridor types so that this could serve as a model if we wanted to apply it in other places and we could learn from different contexts. And that led us to selecting these three corridors, notably all of them serving East Portland. This includes a segment of the Line 87 along Airport Way east of I-205, Northeast Halsey between 47th and 126th along the Line 77, and Outer Stark to Burnside at 82nd along the Line 20. And then we looked at a buffer around each of these corridors of roughly a half mile. In each of these corridors, then we moved to an existing conditions and needs analysis where we build upon looking at past plans as well as looking at remaining deficiencies in existing conditions and certainly community input. We then evaluated all of the projects in order to try to prioritize and identify the most beneficial projects and really relied on a data-driven process so that it was not just a popularity contest based on who showed up. We used criteria and measures for prioritizing the projects, and we got input from the community on what criteria were most important and double-weighted those criteria. We then evaluated, scored, and compared all the projects and took that back out to the community. The top three criteria that we double-weighted included transportation safety. So we looked at where are there safety issues, crash data, as well as factors that increase the possibility of crashes. We also looked at where could it make it easier to get to the bus stop specifically, and equity measures. The other measures that we looked at include making it easier to get to other key places, identify if it was identified in a plan or prioritized previously, if there was a network connectivity benefit for generally getting around by walking or by biking, and where would it serve the most people nearby, and whether it could improve bus speed and reliability, and if there was public support. To help us understand the network connectivity benefit, we did get a little wonky and innovative, I would say. We built a routable pedestrian network in our GIS mapping software to help us to simulate what it would be like as a pedestrian along the corridors and trying to simulate where it's difficult to cross the street or walk. So the model was sensitive to speed limits, number of lanes, and whether or not there was a crossing treatment signal, or whether or not there were sidewalks, for example. And then we modeled each of the pedestrian projects on this network to score their increased access for people, and then use that in our overall evaluation. Just this zoomed out shows you, so it's red where it's more difficult to cross, for example. So this is the model showing, trying to simulate the pedestrian environment. In addition to our measures, we had some other considerations that helped us in selecting and recommending projects, and that included community support, funding opportunities, cost considerations, and technical feasibility, and then we looked for ways to bundle projects for implementation. That led us to developing corridor investment plans for all three corridors, identifying and prioritizing the most beneficial transit-supportive projects. Most of them are pedestrian and bicycle and access to transit projects, as well as transit stop improvements, and then a few transit operational improvements. In summary, our Tier 1 top priority improvements, we identified 9 bikeways, 13 sidewalk projects, 13 traffic signal projects, 3 corridor safety projects, which would include many improvements within them, 4 trail projects, 38 crossings, 20 pedestrian improvements on local streets, and 10 neighborhood greenway projects.
Could I just clarify, the 38 crossings, do you mean crosswalks? What do you mean when you say crossings?
Enhanced crossings, and so the treatment may depend upon the street and what our engineers determine is the appropriate level, but it could be an island or rectangular rapid flash beacons or our hawk signal, so something that enhanced the crossing to make it safe for people to cross and mark it. So it would be a marked crosswalk.
For pedestrians.
And cyclists, of course. But
and
yes.
Cyclists. Okay, thank you. Commissioner Fritz, did you have a question?
Yes, I did. Thank you.
I'm sure you do.
Was this constrained by any kind of funding dollar amount, or is this everything that you could possibly want in these corridors?
It is not constrained to a specific dollar amount, but it is trying to be somewhat constrained in that it is not all of the needs. The needs are greater than this, but we tried to find the most beneficial among them.
And if we were to do all those tomorrow, do you have any kind of an estimate of what it would cost? Or if you're getting to that, I'll just wait. Thank you.
Give me a moment and I'll get to that. Yes. Yeah.
I know Commissioner Udalia's got a question as well.
Uh-huh. I will come back to that. Okay. Just really quickly, these are maps from the plan.
Commissioner Udalia has a question.
Sorry.
Could you go back to that last
Absolutely.
Screen, please? So on the sidewalk projects and the crossing projects, I'm assuming that all of these involve curb cuts if they don't currently exist and if there's a curb to cut.
Absolutely. Yeah. When our engineers design them, then they would look to see if where the curb ramps are required and if a curb ramp needs to be rebuilt.
Great.
Thanks. So the next 3 slides are just maps that are taken from the plan from each of the corridor to represent the where the projects are recommended and where some of them are clustered around stations or stops. So the Halsey, Outer Stark, Burnside, and Airport Way. The plan also, we looked at each corridor and tried to identify projects that bundled together well, in part by proximity or how they could benefit each other. And then within each bundle, identified Tier 1 and Tier 2 priorities based on scoring and public input and feasibility. And then there's a profile for each of those bundles in the plan, and I just pulled some clips from one of those bundles to show. It includes a map, a picture, and a table with the individual projects that are part of the bundle, and then some text around that, each of the projects with potential funding sources. This one here is the Stark-Washington couplet through the Gateway area with changes we recommend. In addition to corridor investment plans of a focus on capital projects. The plan does include some other recommendations, and so I just want to highlight those. The first one is recommending some future public connections across what is today private property. We identified four locations where it would really provide benefit and more direct access to transit if there was a future walkway ped bike connection through here. These are most likely to happen through the development review process at the time that properties redevelop or add improvements and working with our development services staff. But we wanted to identify these so that they could be, so others could be aware of it. And all of these sites currently do not meet our connectivity policy and standards. There are additional recommendations in the plan that are more programmatic or other initiatives, and just want to highlight some of those examples. One would be an info kiosk at the Juvenile Youth and Justice Center and other transportation demand management strategies, particularly around education and encouragement, as well as better lighting and other crime prevention through environmental design strategies. Better lighting was a recurrent theme, and that's something that we'd want to integrate into most all the capital projects. Others include murals or other livable streets and placemaking elements, and the transit youth pass, which was a priority of our two youth members of the community advisor group.
Can you go back one slide for me? So we're going to be having a big discussion this year about the transit youth pass, including how to pay for it. And I understand that what's before us today is aspirational. We don't actually have a source of funding to pay for it. Is on any of this is it listed here as a recommendation because you have been tasked with looking for some new revenue source or new way to cover that cost?
No, I would defer to my colleagues in the Bureau who are working more on this. We identified it as something that was important to community members and reinforced it as a recommendation to pursue.
Therefore, they're really not unique to this particular plan.
Correct.
Because it's a broader conversation.
Yeah, but this plan, talking to the community, it supported the argument that we need to work on this. Mm-hmm. There's a need out there in East Portland.
But by accepting this plan, are we accepting that we have a responsibility to help either pay for it or figure out how to pay for it?
That would be a separate action, I think, for now.
That would be a separate action. That this would be more recognizing the value and recommending to pursue it.
To explore it.
To explore it.
And this is a non-binding resolution, right?
Yes.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And given we couldn't do everything through this planning process, we did identify four future studies that we'd recommend pursuing in the future with additional funding. That includes the Outer Stark Corridor plan to look east of Gateway more closely.
I'm sorry to interrupt. My brain is on slow mo today. With regard to the prior slide, I just want to make sure that it is included in the record that we already have an extensive public record around the youth pass. And whatever we do here today, I want to make sure that we are acknowledging that public record exists and a lot has been said on that subject.
Thank you.
None of which is changed by anything we discuss or vote on today.
Yes.
Thank you. Sorry to interrupt.
Back to the future studies. So the first one being Outer Stark Corridor Plan to look at the roadway east of Gateway and what are the opportunities there to improve safety and access. The Burnside and 82nd Avenue traffic circulation study, which we would want to look more closely at this area together with ODOT to see if there is a way that we can address a missing link in the bike lane along Burnside approaching 82nd. In addition, an 82nd Avenue streetscape plan focused in from the Holiday, Northeast Holiday to Schuller, which is approaching the 82nd Avenue MAX station in that area. And in addition, an airport way and I-205 transit study to look at ways to get the bus out of the congestion and delay that is happening near that interchange. We do have a few early implementation achievements that I'm happy to report. We're making some progress. We do have some funding that we have been awarded and secured for a few capital projects, some advancement on the transit use pass, which we'll defer to other days. TriMet service increases on the line 2077 and the 87, which Jeff will talk more about, and new funding for transit service in the state transportation bill, which creates opportunities for more. Some of the funded projects that I'm going to highlight, we have $5 million of both local funds and regional flexible fund allocation for the Halsey Street Safety and Access to Transit, and that funding would become available in 2019 to 2021. It was ranked the number one recommended project in the region through the Metro process for selecting projects, and I want to give props to my colleague, Zeph Wagner, who prepared that application. And I think really hit the ball out of the park on this. So we're really happy to see this funding coming. This is a map that identifies those funded improvements that are there focused around access to the 82nd Avenue MAX station and include a separated bike lane where there is not one, two ways on the Halsey overpass, as well as a shared path along the south side of Halsey and a pathway to connect to the west of 82nd Avenue, and some crossings and sidewalk access to bus stops. We have a concept of a mini roundabout included in this project at Halsey and roughly 80th. This is adjacent to the Join Day Space, which were members of our community advisory group and very involved from the beginning and helped us see some of the safety issues for people coming to and from their sites. And we do think that this will make improvements for all and help slow down traffic. And the overpass bike facility and the pathway along the Jonesmore and Halsey. In addition, we have some funding for making some improvements along Outer Stark. Through our Fixing Our Streets program, there's $220,000 to provide enhanced pedestrian crossings, and we have, based on the Growing Transit Communities Plan recommendations, selected two locations at 146, which will serve Four Corner School, and at 119th. In addition, through our Vision Zero team, there are $500,000 of funding for additional safety improvements, and this plan can help inform those, the selection of those improvements that are still to be scoped, but an opportunity to fund. And that is what I have, and for now I'm going to turn it over to Jeff Owen to talk more about the transit service.
Great, thank you. Just wanted to take a real quick minute to mention a few improvements that have recently gone into service for bus service improvements that are related to this plan.
Could you just remind the people watching at home who you are and who you represent?
Absolutely, thank you. Jeff Owen, working at TriMet in our planning and policy group. So I'm a senior planner working on these types of plans and other similar related efforts.
Thank you.
So this, what we see on the screen is just a snapshot of some improvements that have gone into bus service. So line 87, March of last year, 16, more buses were added. March of this year, a few months ago, line 20, also added more frequent buses on weekdays. So these are just some of the types of improvements. Just this week, September 2017, saw improvements for line 77, Broadway and Halsey. And then in March of 18, just 6 months ahead of us here, line 87 in the service area will also be improved, split into two different bus lines to better match the demand and the conditions on the streets. So again, just a quick sample of some of the improvements. This type of an arrangement that that we've referred to here is very powerful for TriMet and for riders all across the region and in the city to really help bus improvements go hand-in-hand with physical infrastructure improvements. That's not, of course, the only way that bus service improvements get added, but these are just a few highlights that really point to the great partnerships between between agencies.
Can I ask you a couple questions?
Yes.
So I'm interested in just identifying examples of where these kinds of changes result in faster times for buses, you know, better service for the people we serve. And I think sometimes it's useful to point out what is currently working, what's the model, either here or some other city. I'll give you a couple of examples. I went on a best practices trip, I think, a year or two ago to Denver. And one of the highlights of that trip was taking bus rapid transit to Boulder. And what was cool about it is the whole thing was dedicated lanes, dedicated infrastructure. It was convenient to access. It was fast. It was affordable. But a lot of money obviously went into building out that system. But I thought that was sort of state of the art. Obviously, we have on I-5, we have a dedicated lane going north. So on certain hours, we encourage certain kind of use there. We have a downtown, we have a dedicated transit lane where we've essentially taken a couple of lanes and said this is for light rail and buses. So that seems to be a kind of a model. What are some other examples, both locally or perhaps in peer cities, that you look to that is reflects sort of the future that we're working towards?
Absolutely. One way to think about that is Mauricio a minute ago mentioned kind of the ETC effort, sorry for the acronyms, but enhanced transit would be very close to the things that you're mentioning of a wide range of tools in a toolbox to dispose that could help transit be faster, more reliable. This effort today is mostly just accessing the bus stops. But along with your suggestions, I've also been on that BRT between Denver-Boulder. There are definitely a number of applications that something like that could be applicable on. There's also a number of other solutions such as signals that most people don't exactly think of as often that can really help buses get through intersections and serve a stop on the other side of the intersection, for example, and really a whole list of possible improvements that range from lower investment to higher investment. So it's really a pretty complex bucket of solutions out there, especially for this city and around the region. Today's point was really just to highlight a few slight improvements for bus service just to this corridor.
Appreciate that. And so just looking forward, if there are examples both regionally or in peer cities where you think we hit the right balance, where it's convenient, accessible, where the service, you know, where people can get from on a bus to their destination in a timely manner and the like, I would be interested in learning more about that, so I would encourage you, if you had the time, to send out an email with some examples of homework that we could take a look at and just better understand where is this working, what are the kind of infrastructure investments that have proven to be the most successful, and how does that apply to the choices we're going to be making in Portland in the next 10 years?
Absolutely. There will be many topics definitely coming back, touching on those items. So thank you. That'd be a good idea.
As part of VTC, we'll be looking at what other cities are doing. And we have, for example, a great example in Seattle to the north, you know, the Rapid Ride Network, in a way in which, you know, in a way you want to do two things. You want to continue to invest in key corridors, you know, with BRT lines and dedicated bus lanes, but also you want to invest in the workhorse of the system, the buses, and some of the improvements, some of the 20 tools that we have. They all work. You know, we go out there and we look at the data. We need what the operators are saying, and we begin to look at opportunities, maybe a traffic signal priority here, maybe a bus, you know, a pro-time lane so that we remove parking during the peak time so the bus gets through. These are complicated, congested areas, so I think we want to have a flexibility for how we implement that. In some cases, it may be incremental. In some cases, we want to look at a whole corridor and see this potential and go ahead and make a transformative project out of it.
some other example cities that we're looking to besides Seattle, San Francisco, New York, Minneapolis is even doing some things. So we're certainly out there looking, and we'll try to collect some more information. So and share. Thank you.
Vancouver.
And I too hope to go visit the this month the Denver to Boulder line.
Well, when you go to Boulder, make sure you stop and visit E-Town.
Okay.
And my cousin Nick Warner, who has a radio show out of Boulder, but that line is extraordinary, and again I know they spent a fortune investing in infrastructure, but boy is it state of the art.
And we want to look at investments on all levels, both the spot improvements throughout the network as well as larger capital projects.
So a question for TriMet. When are you thinking you might be able to do north-south service on 148th and 162nd?
So those are referenced within our service enhancement plans, the graphic early on that gave us a little bit of trouble. I don't have the exact dates in front of me at this time, but they are part of those processes that are adopted by our board and are full of community input. So I don't have the exact answer with me today. I'm sorry. But,
is it soonish or not soonish?
It's definitely soonish. It is part of the improvements that we can be looking forward to in the years to come.
Great. Thank you.
I understand there is plans for one start to that improvement starting in March of 2018, I believe it is, to introduce a new service on 162nd, it not full frequent, and weekdays only. So I know there's interest in extending that to the weekends, but this would be a first step.
That's a good start. Right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Right. So I know we want to get to public testimony. When you come back after testimony, if I could know the number for the total estimated cost of this, not now though. And then also, could you tell me where it references Youth Pass in the report? Because I haven't been able to see.
I can answer both of those now.
Okay.
Total cost of the capital project improvements is roughly $75 million. And the Youth Pass recommendations. Moment.
You can tell me later. That's fine. I'm sure we'll have other questions. In that $75 million, now I'm speaking to Chief of Staff Finn as well, I would like in the budget presentations from PBOT to understand how you're going to allocate the new money we're going to get from the state via the increased state gas tax, the $16 to $30 million that was referenced, and then all these other things. How do you make the decisions? Does council have any input into the decisions on how projects are prioritized? Again, I know we want to get to public testimony.
Thank you. And the youth pass is on page 88.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank Very you. Good. Carla, do we have people signed up for public testimony?
I think she had some invited testimony
Yes,
first.
Yes, I actually,
we do. Very
thank
good.
You for that reminder.
Okay.
I would like to begin by inviting two members of our community advisory group to testify, and that includes Jim Howell and Kim Marks.
Very good.
So if they would like to come up.
Thank you. And gentlemen, if you could introduce yourselves and again for the record, we'd appreciate it.
And I will say that there are others who planned to attend to testify but were unable to this morning. And so they have submitted written testimony and letters. Two of those include JOIN as well as Oregon Walk. So I think you have those letters or they'll be coming to you shortly.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor and commissioners. My name is Kim Marks. I am the Director of Transportation Equity at the Rosewood Initiative. I'm here today to support the growing GTC, because I'm not going to be able to say that, plan today. I would like to ask you to adopt this plan, knowing full well that there is no money right now to actually implement this plan. We look forward to working with you and PBOT to find funding for the projects listed in the plan. This plan will help create better access to transportation by creating crosswalks and other infrastructure improvements that will help people in East Portland access transportation. And I would note that East Portland has both the most reliant number of people who for the system, as well as the highest proportion of people of concern. I would be remiss if I didn't also address a couple things that Commissioner Fritz asked about north-south service as an aside. The gap between north-south service in East Portland and West Gresham is 2.9 miles. TriMet is planning to start service on 162nd in March of 2018, but I would note that that service is only going to be Monday through Friday and will only have headways, or the gap between buses it will be 45 minutes. Sadly, I would not characterize that as a good start. It's more as a disappointing start, because the reality is people will not use that service as it currently exists. That service will have two purposes. One, to get people to the corridor so they can reach family wage jobs. But the other is also to make connections to the east-west lines. And that will be very difficult and for people to do with those types of headways. TriMet has said that they'd be willing to look at increasing frequency if 162nd had improvements. That would be primarily north of Halsey to Airport Way along 162nd and 158th. We are working to try to get those that portion onto the regional transportation plan, and if we can do that, we can try. That would be a good access to funds. I would also note that 148th is also in the same situation, where there are extensive investments needed to actually get TriMet to put service on there or on that road. It is going to be, it's the same situation. It's Halsey heading north that the improvements are needed. Sorry, I didn't prepare my comments today. So those are necessary. The last thing I wanted to point out is that the recent transportation bill in HB 2017 has a requirement that TriMet and other agencies are supposed to focus their new revenues on communities with high percentage of low-income people. That means for this area, East Portland, we all have to work hard to make sure that TriMet actually fulfills that obligation, partly through their service enhancement plan, but also through other investments like 148th and 162nd. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for that. I just want to comment, though, that I go on the 44 in southwest Portland. Much of that line does not have improvements along the way, so the suggestion that you have to wait for the improvements before you give the bus service is not proven by that. Secondly, the 44 is great during the week, and it's every 15 minutes, but you're saying it's only going to be every 45 during the week even? Because every 45 is what the 44 runs on weekends, and it's really quite useless. If you miss it, you've got to walk a mile or more if you're fortunate enough to be able to walk. So seriously, it's obviously going to be a longer conversation, but I want to support what you and the others in East Portland are advocating for.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good morning.
Morning. My name is Jim Howell. I'm here to ask you to endorse the Growing Transit Communities plan. I was asked to be on the advisory committee to represent the interests of those along Airport Way. As you know, no one lives along Airport Way east of I-205, and the people that ride the bus, I think, probably are too busy to go to meetings, so that was given to me. I'm representing IORTA. I'm a former transit planner, which I'm at. And so the first thing I want to do is wonder why there was so little ridership on Line 87. And it's a U-shaped route, and part of the route is a crosstown line on 181st, which is a needed route and needs a lot better service. And then there's a section along Airport Way, and then it doubles back on 102nd and 105th back to the Gateway Transit Center. I went out there to see what was going on, and one way of knowing what's needed is look at traffic. And you go out there at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and you can see cars queued up for over half a mile on Airport Way going westbound, trying to get on the northbound ramp to General Jackson Bridge. Probably 90% of the license plates are Washington license plates. So a lot of the people working out there are Washington residents. Well, do they have a transit alternative? And the answer is no. There's no way that this line connects to anything that goes across the Glen Jackson Bridge to Washington. And so consequently, the congestion problems that were mentioned as a problem of getting buses through the congestion are largely due to people trying to get to their jobs with no transit. I pointed this out and made some slight route change suggestions and connectivity congestions. I was informed that that was beyond the scope of this project, which I understand, but it is. But those are the things that have to be addressed, and I haven't seen either TriMet or CTRAN or ODOT or WASHDOT addressing these issues. And consequently, I-205 backs up for miles every day, again, for traffic trying to get across the Glen Jackson Bridge. And a lot of it has to do with these two on-ramps, one from Airport Way and the other from Sandy, clogging up those lanes. And there's sometimes a fairly simple bus solution to what they a problem like this. I noticed ODOT just was going to fast-track a $30 million widening of I-205 further south, which is kind of like, I'm sure you've heard this story of the junk under the lamppost, but it's they're addressing the wrong locations. But in any event, I hope you support this plan. It does a lot of good to help access transit. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate your testimony. Did you have any more invited testimony, or can we move to public? Very good. Carla, how many people are signed up for public testimony?
We have seven.
Seven. Can people try and keep that within 2 minutes each? I won't be hardcore about it, but we're running a bit behind here. Thank you.
Okay. The first three are Terry Parker, Terry Doblinsky-Milton, and Alan Kessler.
Very good. Thank you. Come on up. Terry, do you want to start?
Okay.
Thank you.
Terry Doblinsky-Milton. I will be speaking mostly on behalf of the Coalition of Southeast Uplift, where I'm currently co-chair. I was elected in July with Ruben Demling from Sunnyside. If I could have an extra minute or so just to cover that, because we are a large coalition.
Very good.
I live 6111 East Burnside. And I would like to thank the City Council, and particularly PBOT, for this. The Growing Transit Communities Project, we haven't endorsed it as a concept, but we've endorsed multiple projects, and because Southeast Uplift feels this will be transformative to the northeast quadrant of our coalition, particularly the Washington bike lanes, which received funding, will access the outer 20 with the J District and Montevilla, the 60th MAX station and the North Tabor access as part of this was first identified in 2007 and has never been adopted by City Council. The 60th MAX station is one of the least utilized MAX stations when it comes to bike and pedestrian access, even though it has great connectivity through the MAX system, because it's hard to get to. One of the intersections that would be covered would connect the pocket of North Tabor, which has no north-south connections out of it because it's disconnected by geography. And so it would create a crossing on Gleason. This creates all sorts of needed transit improvements, both the 77 and the 20, particularly Northeast Halsey. We've been endorsing this for several years for the improvements. I would like to thank Zeph Wagner in particular for the follow through for about 3 or 4 years worth of meetings on this to get the Halsey improvements federally funded. And so all of this would create a whole conductivity around Montevilla and North Tabor that we don't currently have for active transportation. Now, personally, I want to move into my personal opinion right here. Not only do I find this absolutely necessary and as a model, but we also need to move to more dedicated lanes. I like the fact that people have been speaking up on council for dedicated transit lanes. 82nd, Sandy, MLK, all of these are good options. To think a little bit further on this project, it improves a lot of improvements to the frequent bus line and outer Burnside on 20 on the line 20. But between 41st and 71st, we have that dangerous pro-tem parking, which is three lanes of travel where the parking disappears and then reappears. And it's not discussed here. That's Project 70010 on the Transportation Systems Plan. And when you improve all the access in the outer 20, it's going to create more safety problems on the inner neighborhood in the 60s, 50s, 40s. So I really would like to thank PBOT and City Council on this. I guess I spoke fairly fast, and I don't need much more extra time. So I'd like to plug one more project, the 60s Greenway, which on this project ends at Davis. If we could continue it all the way to Lincoln, that would encourage income equity to access Mount Tabor Park, because right now there's not a good MAX access, but this would encourage access to the 60th MAX station so people from East Portland would be able to access the park we have put a lot of money into with the Parks Bond, which Commissioner Fritz knows. So thank you, Commissioner Uliday, Mayor Wheeler, Fritz, and Fish.
Thanks, thank Terry. You. Appreciate it. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor. I want to thank Council. My name is Alan Kessler. I'm here with the Portland Bus Lane Project. I want to thank the fantastic questions that we got from the panel today. It seems like you're all focusing on a need to improve transit, especially in the eastern part of the city, a need to get the improvements that will improve service now, and need to dedicate space so that our buses work. We support the plan. We fully support the plan, but we think we should go further. The last two pages of the document, the last two pages of the GTC plan, which talk about future study, were really what we honed in on, and those are, you know, right in line with what the questions that you were asking. I just want to quote from page 89 of the document, and it's talking about two options for the Outer Stark Corridor plan. It says in the middle paragraph, while option two would provide a much higher safety benefit than option one, it would also have a greater impact on traffic operations and would be a more transformative project for surrounding neighborhoods. I'd argue that when you came at the ETC and ordered PBOT to be aggressive in implementing policies, these sort of transformative projects are exactly what you were asking for. So I would ask you to amend the resolution today and fully fund, or at least order PBOT to go back and give you a proposal to fully fund this Outer Stark Corridor plan, which will add dedicated lanes to the center and clear up a huge spot of congestion. We feel the same way about the transit way and I-205 transit study, which is on the last page of the document. Funding the studies that will show us how to dedicate space to give priority to transit will have the best impact, the best return on investment. In terms of ROI, we should be thinking about how we can leverage our money to free up money for TriMet. So we saw some presentation from TriMet staff that certain routes will have increased headways, and one of the headways in particular is going to be decreased down to 20 minutes. May I just have a little bit more time?
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
Will be decreased down to 20 minutes. That's not good enough. If you're relying on transit and a 20-minute headway, you have to watch your watch. You have to have an app. You have to know when the bus is coming. If you get those down to 10 or 15 minutes, you don't. All of a sudden, you just show up and the bus is there. And that's what we need to be aiming for. To get TriMet the funds that they need to make those headways possible, we need to get out of their way. You as the city dedicate the space, and TriMet isn't asking you very well for the space that they need to get to that city. I think that you should show leadership, and you should say, we want a city where the buses work well. We want a city where transit works well. We need to get our cars out of the way so the buses can go fast, so we stop burning money in congestion, and we can get those 10 or 15-minute headways all across the city to have the sort of equitable city that we want.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Terry Parker. My comments are strictly related to the Halsey plan, and I have written it for 3 minutes. Starting with Halsey Street,